want to tell you an amazing story.
It's about God.
He loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus to us so we can be friends with God.
This is our story of Easter. Jesus is really cool.
Jesus looked after people.
He did some incredible miracles.
He's basically like Superman, but he's dressed in different clothes.
Jesus said he was a way for everyone to be friends with God, and some people didn't like that.
One day, Jesus went to Jerusalem
and got his friends together for a special supper.
Jesus even washed his friends' stinky feet
and taught them something important,
that we should love each other
the same way he loves us.
Jesus said, "Eat this bread and wine and remember me."
And they sang their favourite song.
Later on, Jesus went to a garden to pray.
His friends went too, but they fell asleep. Jesus prayed and talked with God, his Father in heaven. They had a plan together to save all the people in the world.
Then suddenly, soldiers came to arrest Jesus and took him away.
His friends were afraid and ran off.
The leaders asked Jesus, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "Yes."
The leaders didn't like that.
The soldiers hurt Jesus and made fun of him.
And they gave him a little hat, was like spiky to hurt his head, and they gave him a big heavy cross to carry.
And they pinned him up on his hands and feet.
Some people shouted at Jesus,
"If you really are God's son, then just climb down."
Jesus could have climbed down. He could have made it stop, but he stayed there. Because he loves us, it was all part of the plan.
Then Jesus died.
And Mary and everyone cried. The sky got really dark. The sun couldn't shine. Maybe because the badness was all in it, making God feel sad.
They put Jesus' body in a tomb.
And they pushed a huge stone in front of the door so no one could get in.
3 days later, God sent an angel from heaven. When the soldiers saw the angel, they got scared and ran off.
Then the angel rolled the stone away.
Then some of Jesus' friends came to the tomb to wash Jesus' body, but the tomb was empty.
And they saw the shining angel who told them,
"Don't be afraid, Jesus is not here. He is not dead anymore. Jesus is alive again."
The friends rushed home to tell everybody.
But Mary stayed a bit longer. She thought the gardener was coming to talk to her. It was Jesus.
A few days later, Jesus' friends were all together having dinner, and then Jesus appeared to them. They were a bit scared at first, and then they got very excited. And Jesus explained the plan, that now nothing, not even really bad stuff, can separate us from being friends with God. Hundreds of people saw Jesus before he went up to heaven.
And now we can call heaven home too and be with him when we die.
Jesus is alive!
And he's there in our hearts.
That's our story of Easter. But it's still not the end of the story.
God loves me.
And he loves you.
God loves everybody.
And he wants us to be his friends.
Well, welcome this morning to our Easter Sunday celebration. Whether you're joining us online or whether you're in the building, it's great to see so many faces, although hidden behind masks, this morning. Some words of liturgy as we start our Easter day. Come all you who are thirsty, come all who are weary and worried. Come all who are thirsty, who are blurry and bored. Come all you who are thirsty, those who know they are spiritually poor. Come all who are thirsty, those who are tired of the spin. Come all who are thirsty, those who are parched for peace. Come all who are thirsty, those who wrestle with themselves and their schemes. Come all who are thirsty, those who wrestle with this world and its grand designs. Come all who are thirsty, and you will find living water and sustaining food, eternal and free. Come and be. No money needed. Come all who are thirsty this Easter day. Well, it's great to celebrate this Easter morning on a lovely sunny day. Thank you for joining us. next week, you're welcome again to join us in person. Please do book in. Also, if you'd like to come as a family, we're going to set up a little family room where the kids can make some noise, not worry about disturbing each other. You can watch the live stream together. Claire and the kids will be in there. You're welcome to come as a whole family and be part of that. We're not able to offer children's work, but you can stay with your children. We'll have a few activities, some snacks and some drinks, and a little bit more relaxed and less concerned about the noise that our lovely kids might make. So if you'd like to join us next week as a family, please do. Thank you for all those who have entered our Little Gardens of Hope competition. Diana was out in the freezing cold yesterday giving out eggs, congratulating the winners. I think the photos are still on Facebook, is that right? Yeah, so you can go and have a look at all those who entered our little community competition. This evening, we're meeting again on Zoom. Bismarck's leading our prayer time, so please do join. The details are in the link. Something else just came into my head and I've totally forgot what I was going to say. Give me a second. No, it's not as polished. Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. Well, we're going to let Sarah and the team lead us in our time of worship. So over to Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Let's worship our risen and living Lord.
Through the Now it's time to join Dinah and Clive.
Well, hello everyone. It's really good to join with you on this very special morning and to welcome some of you back into the church building. As well as saying hello and welcome to those watching from home. Do I think it's strange to be in church again after so long? Well, I expect it does seem a bit strange, but nice too, and lovely to see some real people. Clive says hello to all of you who are in the building. And to everyone watching from home too. It's Easter Sunday, isn't it? That's right. It's the day when we celebrate together Jesus' resurrection from the dead and how he conquered the power of sin and death forever. It's a day for giving Easter eggs. You've got some for me. Oh, thank you, Clive. They're over here. Are these them? These eggs? Are these them? Well, thank you, Clive. You think I sound a bit disappointed? No, not really. It's just not quite what I was expecting. Did I think they would be chocolate eggs? Well, yes, actually. But chocolate is bad for me. And eggs are very healthy. Well, that is true. You didn't know how I like them cooked. So you thought we could cook them later. Oh, okay. I wonder how you like your eggs cooked. Fried or boiled or scrambled or poached or maybe something else. Poached eggs are my favourite. Why do we give eggs at Easter? Well, eggs are a symbol of new life. When a chick hatches from an egg, it's a new life that emerges and it leaves behind an empty shell. And this reminds us of how Jesus came back to life, leaving behind his grave clothes in an empty tomb. And we too can have new life in Jesus and leave behind all the sin and all the bad things and all the rubbish of our lives. Not just today, but forever. We can have eternal life with Jesus because of all that he has done for us. And that's what we celebrate today. That's certainly something worth celebrating. Indeed it is. Are there chicks in these eggs? No. A hen needs to sit on a fertilised egg for 21 days before it will grow and hatch into a chick. That's good because you want to cook them. And you don't want to have chicks jumping about everywhere. No. But Clive, how do you like your eggs cooked? Can't I guess? You like them cooked in cakes best. Well, I should have known. Perhaps we can make a chocolate cake today. We can. We can do that this afternoon. But let's say goodbye for now. So it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. And we wish you all a very happy Easter and be blessed.
I'm now going to read the story of Easter. And we're going to pick the story up at the end of Friday, after Jesus has died on the cross. There are a lot of characters in this story and lots of different emotions. It would be really good if you could think about the emotions that are expressed and see which of those emotions fit how you might have been feeling over this last time. I'm reading from Matthew. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day, and this will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we will be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting of the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say that Jesus' disciples came during the night while you were sleeping, and they stole his body. And if the governor hears about it, we will stand up for you so that you won't get into trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they had been told to say. And their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. but the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Well, thank you, Diana, for reading our scripture for today. And the empty tomb would have been a hard reality for those to understand during those days, and a hard reality 2,000 years later. As we face the reality of our own mortality, that our own lives will not last forever, we understand and know that loved ones might be lost to us, friends, family members will have passed away. To die means just that. It's irreversible and final. But because of the Easter story, we know that this is not always the truth. As the Easter story points to something beyond our mortality, beyond our reality, something beyond death, something more, something beyond our understanding of this world. Many today will discount the empty tomb because they would think, well, the disciples were gullible, they just made stuff up, or they were just hell-bent on doing this anyway, and it didn't matter who got in their way, they were going to get it done and proclaim that Jesus had risen from the death. They were all making it up, is what people might say. Or if not that, they conspired with others, concocted a story, worked together to trick people, lied about where they were and what happened, and it all just made it up to present this narrative that they wanted the world to see. It was a hard reality 2,000 years ago, and it still is a reality today. It is possible to hold to a conspiracy theory. There's been loads over the last year if you've followed the news, all sorts of conspiracy theories. But ultimately, as things go on, they all fall apart. The reality of the situation or the scientific explanation comes up, and the conspiracy theories just fall apart a little bit. They can look too contrived. People end up contradicting each other. The Easter story is neither of those things. The witnesses are not just first-class soldiers, and soldiers change their story. I'm sorry, I've got a little bit confused. My PowerPoint's going a bit funny this morning. So the Easter story is neither of those things. The witnesses aren't first-class witnesses. These aren't ultimately people that might be trusted. They weren't those that would, at that time, stand up in a legal court. The soldiers changed their story, saying that they saw the disciples sneaking in to steal the body, events, even though they explained as they were asleep. The gospel accounts show the disciples not working a story, but disbelieving one. They didn't believe the story, they questioned it, hiding behind locked doors, unable to understand the reality. This was not a story concocted in the back room to be played out on the center stage. This was a story the actors couldn't quite understand themselves. And then we have Jesus's account. He doesn't really maximize the resurrection account. If you think about how today people might express success in something, you'd think, well, Jesus should have gone on a world tour, gone and just showed everyone that he was still alive. Look, they thought he was dead, but come and see him, come and understand, come and believe him. But rather than a world tour, Jesus met with people behind closed doors or in small groups, sometimes not ultimately revealing his identity to everyone. He didn't come with an angel army or a conquering force. He returned to the simple life that he went to before, albeit with some differences. He ate with people, he walked with people, he ate breakfast with his fishermen mates in the morning. Jesus missed the opportunity then, right? Surely he should have choreographed it a little bit better. Why didn't he run up to Herod, slap him in the face and say, "Look, I told you so. Why didn't you believe me?" Why didn't he go to the temple, dance around, show everyone the holes in his hands for all to believe? Reading the gospel accounts, it seems Jesus didn't see a single unbeliever after he died. He went to his friends. He spent time with those who already loved him and believed in him. In our passage at the end, he speaks to the elders, gives them this life challenge. But despite that, we see that doubt still reigned in their minds. This wasn't a glossy story. This was a real story. It's not a conspiracy theory. It was a real story. The accounts can feel contradictory. Witnesses speaking different understandings? That's a true account of how stories are told. Most of us don't see the same thing happening, even if we're all in the same room. If we left here, we'd all recount different parts to the same experience. And we see different accounts to the same experience in the gospel narratives. Even though these believers were faced with Jesus before their eyes, the holes in his side, his ability to walk through walls, many believed, but it wasn't a whitewash. What the disciples saw in those weeks after Jesus' death turned them into a frightened bunch of misfits. That's what he found. They were scared, afraid, couldn't understand. Then jump on to accounts in Acts, and suddenly we have this reborn group of people proclaiming Christ in the streets, proclaiming Christ in the jail cells, dying for what they saw, what they believed. So, apart from the 500 or so that saw the risen Christ, every other Christian who has ever lived falls into the class of the blessed. We who believe and do not see are blessed. 2,000 years after Jesus' death, it is the same for us as those in the early church who hadn't seen the risen Christ. Many have written books looking at the facts around the resurrection and either believe or don't believe the accounts. I choose to believe, to have faith in the risen Messiah, to understand the empty tomb as a victory of our understanding of this world, to see the love of God in Jesus' teachings and his actions, to see the work of the Holy Spirit around me and to receive the peace that Jesus promised. So this Easter day, I pray that we will know that we who believe and have not seen are blessed. We are blessed because of Jesus' love for us, that our deepest fears in our most testing times, our faith points to beyond this world, to something else. That death is not the end. That life with Jesus is true life. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for the Easter story. I thank you that as a community we share again. We remind ourselves of what happened that day and the impact it made on our lives. Lord God, we pray that in our fears and doubts, in our confusions and in our uncertainties, your Spirit would speak to us, encourage us, empower us. And in these days ahead, as a fellowship, bind us together under the banner of your love, under the understanding that this world is not all it is, that we are ultimately loved, and God, you love our world. I pray you will bless us now. Amen. Well, we've got a special video to start to conclude our service. We're going to hand over to Sarah and Many Faces as she leads us in a time of worship. Thank you, Toads. Lovely way of concluding our Easter service together. Just a couple of things I did forget when we started our service. Just a reminder, it's David Ward's funeral on Friday. We can only have 30 people in the building, but if you'd like to watch it on live stream, we'll put it on YouTube and send out a link during the week, so you'll be able to watch what goes on. I also just want to say a big thank you to Ken, who's been doing our DVDs for the last few weeks. We've stood him down as we've been back in the building, but he's been faithfully kind of putting them onto DVD, delivering them to my house, and then I've been delivering them around the village. So thank you, Ken, so much for all your hard work. And also just a thank you, a number have just expressed how they've had, people have shown each other little acts of kindness, whether that's dropping off cakes or cards, or so many lovely stories where people have been sharing and encouraging one another. So thank you for all those have been busy just expressing their love and faithfulness in different ways as a church community. Hopefully you've been blessed in some way by others. Well, let me just conclude as we finish our time together. Lord God, we thank you for the risen Christ. I pray that you would bind us together, keep us firm and strong in our faith. And whatever reality we step, either closing the computer screen or leaving this building, whatever circumstances we might face, whatever personal circumstances are going on, I pray we would know your Spirit's touch. Lord God, pray that we might know something of your love and your grace and your peace and your generosity this day. Amen. Well, God bless. Thank you for joining us.